Hello, everybody. It's Neil Ewers and his piano-playing loon. This is part one of an at least three-part series on mic placement. It started out to be only one part, but it just kept getting longer and longer and longer. And I figured once it got too long, it was just going to be too much to download and too much to deal with. So I'm going to divide them, especially since I want to use a pretty high KBPS on the MP3 download, so the sounds that I record sound reasonably good. So this is part one of microphone placement, and this part deals with cardioid microphones. So, on with the show. Oh my goodness, you'd think that chicken would be housebroken by now. Hello, this is Neil Ewers in Madison, Wisconsin, and today we're going to talk about mic placement and mic sound. I'm not using my studio today because I didn't figure a lot of people would have one, so I wanted to make it a little more realistic. I'm using my wife's office. She's not here, so she won't mind. The mics I'm going to be using today are going to be all over the place in terms of expense. Many of them are going to be more than one might want simply for podcasting. I happen to have them because I own a studio, and yet anything I can do with my mics, in terms of placement, you can do with yours. The mic I'm using now is a Rode NT4, Rode, R-O-D-E, NT-4. It is an XY microphone, meaning that the capsules are pointing inward. You've got two short cigar-shaped capsules. They're more like cigar butts. They really aren't that long. And imagine them pointing straight forward, and then you bend both of them in at 45 degrees. So when they meet, they're at 90 degrees, which is the corner of a square. One is on top of the other one, and that's because you don't want them right facing each other because they block each other's sound. So imagine the corner of a square with one mic on top of the other one, and you've pretty much got it. This is about a $400 microphone. It is both condenser operated, 48 volts phantom, but it also can be operated with an internal 9 volt battery. This mic does not have any kind of bass roll off, and so handling it is a bit of a problem. You pretty much normally have to put it on a stand. It does have an on off switch, so that if you're using battery, you can turn the switch off and save the power. So, what I want to play you now is a recording I made last summer, one night when the crickets were singing. I put this microphone outside on my front porch and recorded some crickets, and then I recorded the same crickets with another microphone setup, an MS setup, which we'll get to later. One of the things you will notice about this microphone and that MS setup is there's a great deal of difference in the stereo spread. The closer you have the mics together, the narrower the stereo image. Now you can certainly tell that I'm walking around from one side of the mic to the other. And if you were interviewing some people or you wanted to record a family gathering or something, this mic would be great. You could simply place it there and you would have people in various places in the stereo spectrum. What you will discover, however, with this mic position is I think what you're going to discover when I play you the sample I want to play you. Now pay attention to the traffic sound in the background, because in the Rode recording, it almost sounds like it's in the middle of your head. It's really way off to the left, and it's only when we switch to the MS position that you can really hear the greater spread. Let's listen to that now. Crickets with Rode and crickets with MS. And there you have it. Now, this mic does come with two different cords. The cord I'm using is used for phantom power. It comes out of the back of the mic in one plug, and separates at the end of the about 10-foot cord into two separate cords with XLR plugs so that you can plug them into your professional mixer, etc. It also comes with the cord that comes out of the back and terminates in a 1/8 mini plug, the kind of plug that you'd use for the Eterol R1, the iRiver, etc. The interesting thing is that for whatever reason, when I use that cord, there's a bit more noise in the microphone, and I'm not sure why. So let's listen to that now. Here's what this mic would sound like if you were using that cord. All right, there we have this cord, and you can hear a little bit more mic noise. I'm not using the iRiver or the R1. I am, however, using a Sony MZR900 mini disc recorder, which has very quiet preamps, much quieter than the MicroTrack recorder I reviewed, and also quieter, I believe, than the R1. So pretty much the noise you hear is the noise of the mic. It's not bad. It's still quite tolerable. But it is interesting that for whatever reason, this cord makes it sound more noisy. And in fact, it makes it sound more noisy on the best recorders I have. So it isn't just that I'm using a different recorder. It's that this cord somehow is, I'm not sure what they did. All right, this is an XY 90 degree mic. I want to get a little wider now and use an Audio-Technica mic, which sounds different and has a little different pickup pattern. And this is an Audio-Technica microphone, model AT for Audio-Technica, 822. It's about a $300 microphone. It, like the Rode, is a cigar-shaped microphone with the capsules on the front. The Rode, you could actually feel the individual capsules pointing in toward the middle. This has a screen over it, which acts sort of as a pop screen, although it's not a very good one. To really use it with certain situations, you'd almost have to have a windscreen, which it comes with. There are two versions of the mic, one that operates with both phantom power and battery, and one that operates just on battery. That's the one I have. It operates on a AA battery, which lasts supposedly for 3,000 hours. And again, if I walk around from side to side, you can certainly tell that I'm moving. So again, it would be a good way to record. Well, actually, you'll hear a recording in a second with this microphone and a bunch of people talking. One of the things I sometimes do when I'm interviewing people using this microphone is to place it between us on a stand with the mic pointing up toward both of us. So it's one capsule toward me and one capsule toward the other person. And since this mic angles at about 110 degrees, that actually means that the individual capsules of the mic are pretty much pointing up directly at your mouth. Unlike the Rode, this microphone does have a bass roll-off switch. I've just engaged the bass roll-off, and this is really handy if you're recording in noisy environments where there's a lot of machine noise, cars, traffic, whatever, because it does take out, and I don't remember exactly what the roll-off frequencies are, but it does take out a lot of the lower bass. This is also a much lighter weight mic than the Rode. The Rode weighs in at about 1 pound, 1 ounce, and I don't know exactly how much this weighs, but it's about half as much. It's very light, same length, but a lot easier to carry around. I often put it on a shock mount. You can get a little ring that's a rubber ring from Shure. I'll have to figure out what the model number is and write an email to everybody. So you just slip the microphone, the cigar end of the microphone, into this little rubber ring, which then screws on your mic stand, and it protects the mic from being vibrated, and so you don't hear a lot of noise from the stand or from vibrations on the floor, etc. And now some fun recorded with this microphone. My family was sitting around one night a few weeks ago playing a game called Mad Gab. I don't know whether you've played it or not, but here's how it works. You get a card, and on the card is a sort of nonsense phrase. But if said correctly, it sounds like some other phrase, and your job is to figure out what that phrase is. The phrase in this instance is Nile wives Enital. Nile wives Enital. So you see if you can figure out what the actual phrase is along with them. The winner, of course, the first person to write in the correct phrase on the podcast list gets the, well, I guess the honor of being first. So here is my zany family, recorded with the Audio-Technica 822, bass switch rolled off, windscreen on mic, sitting in my living room, having a bit of fun.
I see Enital.
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 Oh, yeah,
Enital. The new car there.
Enital.
Nile
wives.
Enital.
Enital.
She's falling asleep.
Enital, Enital. Okay. There she goes.
Nile wives.
Enital.
Enital. Can you?
Let's do it together.
She can't do it for you.
Nile wives. Enital. Nile wives.
Well, that was a bit of fun, wasn't it? Did you figure out what it was? Let me know. This now is a different setup. I'm using the Neumann KM140 microphones. These are professional mics that are condenser-powered only that sell for maybe $1,300, $1,400 a piece. But again, you can do exactly what I'm doing with your mics. And what I'm doing, well, if I could stop rubbing the cord against the stand, what ORTF is, it was developed by the French radio and TV network, which is ORTF, and it's basically two cardioids spaced about the same distance apart as your ears and angled out at a certain degree. I'm not going to go into details of distance and degree. I can certainly give you that information on the podcast list if you want. But basically, people often do what I do when they do this sort of thing, and then that is they buy a bar from Neumann or from whoever makes the mics that actually fix the mics in that kind of arrangement. So this is beginning to get more spacey, beginning to approach binaural microphones, except these are cardioids. So rather than a more diffuse all-around sound, you're going to get a bit more clarity because the cardioid mics have a bit more focus to them. The truth of the matter is, you can place mics wherever you want to. There's no law that says you can't. What people have done is come up with some tried techniques that try to approximate to some degree the human ear and what the human ear hears, even if the mics aren't put in the same distance apart as the human ears. In this case, they sort of are. People often talk about your distance or relation to microphones as being either on axis or off axis. And that simply means if it's on axis, you're directly in front of it. If it's off axis, you're off to the side of it. Well, in this setup, you are pretty much, unless you're facing one of the mics that are angled out widely, for the most part, much of the sound you're going to be hearing is off axis. I, for example, am in the middle of the two mics, so I'm not facing either one. I'm facing toward the side. And often you get a certain coloration when you do that. The physics of the microphone pretty much require, unless you really get an expensive microphone, that when you are at an angle from the mic, the frequency response of a cardioid will likely rise. The high end, the treble end, will get louder. So that's what you're hearing to some extent with these mics. They're expensive enough, but they're designed in such a way to have a rise in the frequency response in around the sibilant sound area. Again, if I walk off to the side, you can certainly tell that I'm doing that. And if I were to have recorded, trying to lift my cord over the mics here, if I were to have recorded my family using this microphone setup, you would have gotten an even wider spread. So So I want to play you a couple things recorded with this setup. Actually, two recordings of Lake Superior. The first one was recorded on Isle Royale last summer, up in the real wilderness area. I was on the shore of Lake Superior. It was a very quiet night. You can hear quiet lapping waves. And if you listen really carefully in the distance, you can hear the loons. That will be immediately followed by a recording of a very different nature. Same lake, different place, again on the North Shore, but up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And, well, you'll notice the difference. Both recordings were recorded with the Neumann mics in the ORTF position. So here are two versions of Lake Superior. And now one more recording with the Neumanns. This is a very unorthodox recording. As I said, you can do whatever you want with your mics. These mics were placed back to back so that their ends were 180 degrees opposite each other, at about a foot and a half apart. Now, I normally don't do this kind of setup because if I'm recording something that's moving, say a car coming from right to left, and if I have the mics really too far apart, that car is going to get to your ear and go zooming past faster than it really is. You're going to hear it going faster than it is actually going, because there is a hole between the mics. There is a greater space than exists between your ears. And that's why people make up these interesting mic setups, to more replicate the human ear. However, I was recording birds with this end-to-end mic recording, and there weren't going to be any cars going by. So here is a recording of birds recorded in Spring Green, Wisconsin. Microphones placed end-to-end, ends about a foot apart, and you get a lot of separation. Thank you. little bit of springtime in the midst of winter. All right, the last thing I want to do on this podcast that deals with cardioid mics is to do a sort of variant of cardioid. I want to go back to MS miking that we talked about earlier. And this was described in part on a show that Rob and Larry, and I don't remember the microphone expert's guest's name, but he really does know a lot about microphones. He explained MS and did a very thorough job, even though he didn't think he was doing such a good job. He did a very good job. It's basically, and I'm going to do it in a less technical way, it's basically you have two microphones. In this case, I'm using two Shepps microphones, and Shepps is a very well-known mic in recording circles, especially if you're doing classical music recording of orchestras and choirs and pianos and whatever. I'm not even going to tell you how much they cost. They're ridiculous. They're two cigar-shaped microphones. The mics are placed one right on top of the other one, almost touching each other, and they're both pointing in the same direction. One is a wide cardioid, which is a little bit wider angle of pickup than a cardioid, and not as wide as an omnidirectional. And the other one is a figure eight mic, which allows sound to come into two sides of it. So in this mic, sound doesn't come in from the front or the end of the mic. It comes in from the sides, in this case, the left and the right. And you reverse the phase of this figure eight microphone such that as you increase the volume of that microphone, you can go all the way from mono, which is what you'd have if you had only the wide-angle cardioid picking up sound. But as you add more and more of the figure eight mic, you begin to get a little wider and a little wider and a little wider stereo separation because you're adding more right and left channel. What I want to play for you is a very short selection. I recorded it the other night on my stoop as it was raining, a very cold rain, I might add. And what you'll hear is first a sound that's mono because I have the wide-angle cardioid up and I don't have the figure eight mic up at all. Then I begin to raise the figure eight mic. So what you hear, the more the volume of that mic comes up, is that the stereo separation gets wider. The neat thing about the Sound Devices recorder that I demoed a couple weeks ago is that you can record with this setup, and then after the performance, you can actually change the relationship of the microphones, the figure eight to the wide-angle cardioid. Some people also use cardioids instead of wide-angle. It's a matter of preference. So you can actually tweak the sound after you've recorded it. Anyway, enough of that. Here is the sound of rain being recorded on the MS mic position, starting out in mono and then getting wider and wider and wider and wider in a stereo pickup. And that brings us to the end of the first podcast on microphone placement. We've dealt with cardioid microphones. Next time we'll deal with omnidirectional microphones and talk about spaced omnis, triple omnis, the Jekyll and Schneider disc, and all kinds of other interesting techniques. One final comment. You might have noticed that some of the less expensive mics actually sound better than the more expensive ones. That's because less expensive mics try to make up the difference by raising a lot of the treble so that you hear much more crispness. That actually is good. What that means is, although they may not sound really good in professional circles in terms of what a client would want for a symphony orchestra, etc., because it would be too treble oriented, what it does though is make them sound pretty doggone good. Now, we didn't do really cheap microphones, and I will do some podcasts on those in the future, but I wanted to get this one done for Rob and Larry because they were very interested in it. But I guess the last point that I'm making is that there are some pretty good inexpensive mics, which we'll discover out there, that sound pretty doggone good for what you're going to use them for. Well, this is Neil Ewers signing off. Tune in again at some time in the future for Podcast 2, Omnidirectional Mics.